This is the Female Founder Podcast. We talk to our guests about their journey as entrepreneurs, where they are today, their tips and tricks, and what they wish they had known earlier. And we discovered there is not just one way to become an entrepreneur.
The Female Founder Initiative aims to tackle the underrepresentation of women in the startup sector and wants to alter the narrative about women entrepreneurs in Switzerland. We hope to inspire you with today's episode and are happy to have you join the movement, comfortably from your home or on the go. Today's episode is supported by Wirtschaftsbildung.ch. Wirtschaftsbildung.ch lets young people experience business. By taking on the role of CEOs, they learn about typical situations and conflicts on the basis of a digital business simulation. Additionally, more and more young women are taking on these CEO roles, which is why we are particularly pleased about the support of Wirtschaftsbildung.ch. And with that, we hope you enjoy the upcoming episode.
Today, I am talking to Lara, co-founder of Girls Code 2 and engineer at Avalok. Girls Code 2 is a non-profit organization founded by a motivated team of industry professionals, professors, students, and parents. With their programs, they support and encourage girls to explore a career in tech by introducing them to software tools, different coding languages, and processes that are used to build apps, games, websites, and robots. Lara and I discussed the misconceptions of coding, how young girls are benefiting from taking part in their courses, and Lara's future plans with the project. I am super excited to have her on the podcast and also very interested in what you think about it. So enjoy.
Well, hello, Lara. It's super nice to have you here today, this bright and early Friday morning that we're meeting. And I just, when I walked to the office and I walked to the podcast recording, I thought I'm going to change the first question up a little bit and not ask you if someone asks you at an event, but if someone meets you at 8 a.m. on the street in the sun, how do you tell them in 10 seconds who you are and what it is that you do?
So I would just say, hi, I'm Lara. I'm a coder by day and I work for Avalok as a software engineer. And I'm also the co-founder of Girls Code 2, which kind of helps, you know, inspire young girls.
Nice. Amazing. So you just touched on this and today we want to talk about Girls Code 2 and the work that you do there. Can you give us a better understanding of your work at Girls Code 2, what mission you have and how you try to achieve that?
Okay. So our goal is practically to try and empower girls of all ages to find their passion for technology. And I think it's quite important that, you know, we give this exposure to them from as young as 8 years old to as old as 18. And the reason we get to this age is we kind of try to prevent all of the other influences that society might have, you know, such as like pre-misconceptions of what coding might be, or, you know, other influences with friends and things like that. And so we try to influence them at a younger age to see if they like it or not.
Amazing. That's super important. And maybe you can tell us a bit more about like how Girls Code 2 came into life and maybe like even go back a little bit further. What is your background and at what point were you like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to found Girls Code 2.
Yeah. So I'll take a little step back. And then so I studied my bachelor's at the University of California, Irvine. And after that, I ended up in the University of California, San Francisco, where I studied traumatic brain injuries. And then I was, okay, you know, now it's my next step. What do I want to do for my master's? And so I studied neural systems and computation at ETH and the University of Zurich, which is a blend of neuroscience, data science, and electrical engineering. And so with this, I figured out that it was like, okay, you know, what do I like? What do I not like? And during this time, I was a coding instructor at TechSpark Academy. And so TechSpark Academy hosts coding camps in classes. And, mm-hmm. But these are for both genders, both boys and girls. And so with this, since it was both genders, I had we would have one girl and 7 boys and one girl and 10 boys, and which is quite disappointing in that sense. And so that was the kind of the first thing that kind of sparked this, was like, hey, there's not that many girls that are enrolling in this. And the second one was while I was teaching, I noticed that you could have a young girl as young as 8 years old, and when she would get frustrated, she would close the computer, and then, you know, you just kind of see her sit there and you ask her, hey, what's wrong? And she says, you know, oh yeah, I don't really like it. It's not working. And okay, you know, you have to kind of sit there and convince her, hey, you know, my brain plus your brain can do it, right? I was like, I don't think it's too hard for the both of us. But then if you give her this nice stable foundation, and I saw her, you know, 3 camps after that. And then after that, on that 3rd camp, you could see the difference, where you could see that she felt like, oh yeah, this is now playtime. I don't feel like this is not fun anymore. But you have to give them a nice stable foundation before they can really feel like, hey, like, I'm just going to click buttons and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so with Girls Code 2, we really try and have this different type of teaching concept.
And besides maybe the ratio in the classes, why else do you think it is important to teach especially young girls how to code?
So I think that we can all agree that having a more diverse workforce is beneficial. Mm-hmm. And so our approach really tries to solve the problem at the root. And so compared to having hiring quotas and tech companies, we really try to teach these girls at this young age to expose them and then, you know, possibly then study this later. And if not, you know, maybe then they find another field in a tech industry, such as, you know, being a designer or being, you know, on the more business side of things as a product owner. But that's still, you know, they are still exposed to this technology and say, hey, you know, I like this. And then I want to be in this field, but maybe not be technical as well. And that's completely okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how, like, I mean, I think also starting at this early age also makes you quite different maybe from other coding classes in the market. But there's also a big association in the US that does this kind of work. What do you think makes you different with your work from what is out there?
So practically, we have a few things that we tried to do a bit differently. And so we have this hands-on approach, so then that you can have this more physicality to learning. And with this, it's, you know, it's not just this concept in your head, but you can see and interact with it physically. And I think that's quite important for starting off as well, you know, seeing like, hey, you know, I'm making a difference immediately, and it gives this positive reinforcement. And our teaching methodology is really based on like current learning and research. And so we've hosted master's theses from ETH students to really try to improve our teaching and, you know, scientifically test our teaching methodologies. So which I think is quite exciting. And it really allows us to incorporate this, you know, state of the art research and improve our curriculum so that we're actually making a difference in these girls' lives and how they think about, you know, their perception of coding.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example, like something that you've seen that you did different before, and then you had the thesis and the research and you were like, oh yeah, we need to change that. Do you have an example of that?
So practically it was really based on, you know, this idea of you have this failure by learning. And so you give them a bunch of, you know, broken code, and which we would call it debugging. And the goal is to actually understand and read the code and break it down into small problems. And that's one of the really important concepts, that you break it down and you can see what's happening and you get a different understanding, but you also get super confident with this as well. And so this kind of concept of learning is, they don't have this in school where they just like give you this broken problem and they say, hey, yeah, fix it. But it's also learning how to break things down and get comfortable with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's exactly what you just said. It's like being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Like, you know that it's not right and you know that you need to break it down. It's a different way of trying to solve a problem. And I think that's super important to teach alternative ways of solving problems. So I think that's a really creative and good way to go about it. And While we're at it, while we're going deep into the topic of coding, what misconceptions do you just want to get out of the way about coding now that you have the chance to?
Okay. So I guess one of the big things is that coding is not this, like, you know, lone hacker in the basement of your, basement of your house, just like, you know, typing in, working all alone, that it's actually a team collaboration or a team sport where you have to be able to communicate with other people with your code, or even, you know, verbally. And then, you know, and I think that it's not this lone thing that you're doing all by yourself, but you can have these communities of people from all over the world working together and with this single goal and project. You know, just thinking that you're going to be all alone while doing this, no, that's not the case. It's very social. You have to communicate a lot. And yes, it might not be, you know, through your voice, but you communicate through your code. And so I think that's quite important. And I think the second thing is that coding is this logic-based thing, and it's not creative, but you can be creative, and you can use this as an outlet to, you know, express yourself. So for example, if you want to, you know, have a website, and, you know, but you want to be able to have this user interact with it in different ways, and have, if you perceive it in different emotions or have different lighting and colors to feel something, you can create that with code. And so, you know, you can use this as a different way or a different medium. And the other thing is that when you write code and you want it to be flowing and readable and things like that, that also takes creativity. And so it's a different way of thinking about things, but you can be creative with this.
Mm-hmm. And I think something that's also great is that you see the changes right then and there, like after you've run the code and you've done it. I'm a person that enjoys seeing results, and then you see them and then you're like, oh, okay, this is cool. And now I can work on top of that. So that's really great. And let's say I have a young girl that wants to start to code, and for some reason, all your classes are booked out. So where can somebody go that just wants to start and wants to just play around with it? And where could they go? Where could they start?
So I want to really start with another concept too, as well. It's having them start with a sibling or friends. And so I already touched on this, you know, having it more of a team sport, but there's more beneficial, like more things that make it more beneficial. When you have somebody learn with somebody else, there, it empowers them to teach each other, help them out, you know. So two people always think in different ways. When you're learning with another person, you can see how they approach the problem. They can see different ways that they have solved it. And the other thing is that when you have them teach each other, it reinforces what they learn. So they not only have to remember and know that they understand it, but they also have to output it in a way that somebody else can. And with that, it also makes them more confident in coding. And so when they have learned to actually explain it, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I can do it. And this really helps them and boosts them in the learning process. That's kind of the first approach, and where it's like, before, you know, even starting anything, it's if you start them with somebody else, it makes life a lot easier. I think the second thing is that ask them, you know, what do they want to do before they even enroll them in a camp, right? It's what you would like, what's the big dream? Help them kind of get an idea why it's exciting, or why do they want to do this? Why do they want to learn? Because at the end of the day, if they have a goal and say, hey, you know, I want to do this because I want to build a game, when they go into a workshop, they're going to be a lot more like into it. They're going to want to ask questions. They are going to get asked things of how do they accomplish this goal. And so parents should actually ask the kids, okay, you know, it's like, what do you think you can do with coding? Or do you want to build a website? Or do you want to build an app that tells you what clothes you're going to wear that day? And if you help them dream a bit more, it makes the workshops a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And so I would start with that. And there's a lot of free content online, you know, if you want to do block coding, there's the Scratch things. If you want more hands-on robotics, they'll have these robots. I think they're called Wonder Robots. And you code them, and then they move around the room, and you can help them dance and things like that. And EPFL has these robots as well that, you know, you can program the lights and they move around in the room. And with these kind of things, if you add something with physicality plus coding, you might inspire them a bit more. It also works from a young age to older. And there's this company called Imagi Labs, and they make these LEDs with 8x8, and you can kind of code and program different images. And so this is another way of creativity, and I'll...
Yeah, for sure. And also for everyone that is like, wait, I didn't make a note of this. We will put all the links of what you just mentioned also in the show notes. Mm-hmm. From the young women that have joined your programs, have you seen changes before and after they joined the program? Or
I'll tell a story that I really is near and dear to my heart. And so, I taught her for about a year, and she's 13 years old. And, you know, the first day of my class, she said, hey, you know, it's like she was a little bit nervous, and she didn't, you know, she was, oh yeah, you know, this is my first time. I don't really know like how this is. And my parents thought it would be a good idea. Then at the end of the class, she said, hey, you know, I thought coding was super difficult, but at the end of the day, it was just learning how to break down the problem into smaller problems. And then the code wasn't so scary anymore. And I was like, yeah, it's not that hard. And she's like, yeah, I'm seeing that spark that, you know, suddenly it clicks and they're like, oh, hey, this isn't as intimidating, or it's not scary, or it's super fun. And when you kind of change this perception of it, I think you can go a long way. And that's why introducing these workshops is, for in my eyes, very important.
That's such an inspiring story as well. And talking about overcoming challenges that people are facing individually or that we're facing as a society, what do you think is currently like the biggest challenge that the startup ecosystem is facing?
I think that it's, in my perspective, the economy right now. So with all of the portfolios being so down, you know, when you start a company, you might need some funding. Having all of these portfolios down makes your valuation down. And then, you know, it's when you have not so many people supporting you, it makes the entry a lot more difficult. And then so it really matters on, you know, how you're perceived and things like that. So I think that if the economy is better, you have a lot better chance of surviving everything.
Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to, I mean, especially female founders, we know that there is an investment gap and that investment into a female founded startup is less. Hopefully things are becoming better and better. But what would you say, how can we also as individuals further support female founders and those aspiring to be, and maybe also the girls that are in your courses and in your programs and afterwards think, yeah, I can do business out of this. This is awesome. How can we support them?
Yeah, so I think community is really important in here. And so depending on each other, talking about both your struggles and your successes openly, because if you have a potential female founder out there, talk about how you make it happen and what's the potential plan, because you don't feel so alone when you're on this journey, right? And another person might be going through the exact same thing, which I've found out, you know, a colleague, and then, you know, she's going through this whole nonprofit thing. And all of her struggles we went through as well. And the thing is that when you figure this out, it's like, okay, you know, I don't feel so alone, and thanks for your help. Mm-hmm. And with this kind of community and teamwork, I think we can really make a difference in this. So I think first and foremost, that's really, really important. And then I think the second thing is, if you have somebody that's trying to make this a reality, help them. And this thing doesn't have to be so alone.
I think there is this saying that's like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So mm-hmm. We try to live by that as well. And I know that you do so many things. What other projects are you currently working on? What future projects are you thinking about? What can we see more of Laura in the future?
Ooh, yeah. I am really excited about this one. So last year we hosted our first Dance in Code Camp. And so it's in collaboration with the Zurich Sportsamt. It went wonderfully last year. So this year we're hosting two of them, one in summer and one in fall. They both learn, you know, how to physically be in your body and mentally in your mind. And I think it's a great combination. And so we're really playing with this whole physicality and, you know, being also on the computer. It's for the parents out there. It's coming this year. And sign up fast, because I heard it fills up really quickly. And the other thing is that we're starting an after-school coding camp this fall in Schule Kilkberg. And so the other thing is that we really depend on parents to help reach the school. So if you would like us to come to your school, we need help coordinating with that. And so that's really exciting. The future workshops that I really, really want to get more and more of is this past February, we had the first mother-daughter workshop as well. Amazing. And so the concept of it is that we have a mother and a daughter, or a grandmother and a daughter. So, you know, intergenerational, and you have them kind of teach each other. So, and I touched on it a little bit before, but you have a mom and she'll give instructions, and then the daughter types, and then you have the daughter, and then the daughter will give instructions and the mom will type. And so you kind of switch them off and you give them different roles. And with this, you kind of both share the knowledge from the mother and daughter and different ways of thinking and learning. And on top of that, you empower the daughter to want to speak out and feel more comfortable and, you know, give instructions. And I think the giving this confidence while you're coding is really important. So we tried it in February and we love it. So if you in a company want to have this workshop, just let us know. And we're really, really open to having more of these workshops. I thought it was great.
That sounds amazing. It's also such a nice bonding experience. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Ah, wonderful. I'm super looking forward to seeing these and I will definitely also share those. That sounds amazing. Before we go into our classic finishing questions, is there anything that I didn't ask that you would like to address and you want to take a couple of minutes to talk about it?
Yeah, I just want to, so I touched a little bit on this before, but, you know, so kind of society puts these different pressures on, you know, on different genders. Mm-hmm. And maybe create these little biases from the start. So, you know, from clothing that say princess and the boys say astronaut to all of the toys, the boys have all of these Legos and buildings and robots, and the girls, not so many. And so one thing that parents can actually do is introduce female role models, tell them about politicians or CEOs or astronauts, and tell them about these potential jobs. Because as a parent, you know, you have to help them learn how to dream these things. And they're not going to just Google it. Hey, you know, how do I become a CEO? It's, you have to help them dream about, you know, something that they want to do, and then the skills that they need, and then you get them onto that role. I guess the second thing I wanted to say was so that you can use this code to express yourself creatively, and that you can use it to build something. But the hardest part is, what do you build? And so as a parent, that you want to use this to try to get them to think and then dream and then have them build something else. But the thing that everybody can do, parent or not parent, is I want to ask everybody to, you know, take a step back and recall a moment where you didn't feel like you belonged, you know, such as a soccer team, or if you had different hobbies than your friends. And with this sense of belonging, everybody, you know, you can see if there is a gender imbalance on a team or, you know, in a situation. And you can always ask them, you know, if they feel like they belong, or ask them about how the communication is with the teammates and things like that. Because only when you ask somebody if they feel, you know, that you personally can do something better in their situation, is the only way that you can help them out as well.
Super, super insightful. And I think especially the topic of role models that you touched upon is so important. And I mean, we try to give role models just by, you know, talking to you, for example, and sharing your story. But within the family, just to give role models to a list of role models or potential role models, people that are interesting, I think it's so important, because you can learn so much from that. You can even learn that you don't want to be that person. And I think that's also really important. So before we say goodbye to you, which I don't want to do, we have a few final questions that we ask all of our guests. Do you have any tips or podcasts or books, any kind of resources that you really recommend to our listeners?
I love the How I Built This podcast. And for me, it really helps me. Okay, you know, you see all of these big name stars, but then you really hear from how they got from the very, very little beginning to all of their issues, and then all the way to the big parts. And then so for me, that was the big game changer for me.
Nice. We will definitely link that one. And from today's episode, what are like three of the things where you say, okay, I really want people to remember this?
Okay. So for the parents and, you know, the ones that have godchildren or the ones that, you know, have a neighbor that's a young girl, I think the two things that I would like you to do is introduce female role models, because I don't think that society just introduces them enough. And mm-hmm. so that would be one. And then the second thing is ask them questions about what they want to build or what they want in their life, because they're very creative and, you know, but you have to kind of push that, you know, oh, well, if you want to do it, like you actually can, and, you know, have them, you know, think about it, because that, I think that's the biggest thing for them. The other thing is that, so if you ever are in a situation where you see gender imbalances or even like diversity imbalances, always mm-hmm. ask how the other person is doing, because it's really important to always have that understanding between other people.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Before we end, where can we find you? Where can we find Girls Code 2? Where should we follow?
On our website. So it's girlscode2.ch. But the thing is that the most updated stuff is actually on our LinkedIn page. And so yeah. If you want to see, you know, we will post all of our workshops on there. We're quite bad at keeping the website up to date. All of our collaborations are also on the LinkedIn page.
Thank you so much, Laura. It was such a pleasure to talk to you and to hear your story and all the things that you do with Girls Code 2. I'm super excited to see what's coming next for you and all the workshops that are coming up. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Female Founder Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. As always, you can find all the links and notes from today's episode in the podcast section of our website at female-founders.ch. Feel free to check it out. And if you are not already in touch with us, we would love to get to know you. Let us know what you think of today's episode and what other topics might interest you. You can reach us via info@female-founders.ch. See you next time!